are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. I hope you came with an expectant heart today. We have powerful ministrations awaiting you. Amen.
Oh, microphone.
The next thing that's going to happen, please welcome our very own LPBDR.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Know why I didn't like Sunday mornings. See, I wasn't born again. I never read my Bible and I never ever prayed at all. But I was saved on a Sunday. Yeah. Oh, that's why I really, oh, I really like Sunday mornings. Oh, yeah. That's why I really, oh, I really like Sunday mornings. Morning is when I'm gonna seek the Lord. Yes, sweet, sweet fellowship with the Lord. Sunday morning is when I'm gonna work for Jesus. Yes, I'm getting stronger in the Lord. Yes, oh, oh. That's why I really, oh, I really like Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, I really love it. Oh, that's why I really, oh, I really like Sunday mornings. You wanna know how I spend my Sunday morning? Yes, visitations, invitations. I remember many others who don't know about Jesus. Yeah, I'm saving souls for Jesus. Oh, yes. That's why I really, oh, I really like Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I really, really, I really love it. That's why I really, oh, I really like Sunday morning. I wanna be strong, so strong. I wanna be faithful in the Lord, my Jesus Christ. I wanna be faithful and loyal. Oh, really love my Sundays. Oh, I really love Sunday morning. Sunday mornings, Sunday morning, Sunday preaching, Sunday singing. That's why I really, really love Sunday morning. I really love it, Sunday morning. That's why I really, I really like Sunday morning. Sunday preaching, Sunday dancing, Sunday dancing. I really, oh, I really like Sunday mornings. I could be here all day. Oh, that's why I really like Sunday mornings. Oh, that's why I really, I really like Sunday morning.
Wow! Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. Now it's coming into the most exciting, the best part of the service. The Word of God is about to be preached to us. Amen. The Word tells us that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved is the power of God. The power of God is about to come to you today through the powerful prophet of God he has blessed us with. Please be on your feet right now and please receive Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is born to me. Put your hands together, rejoice unto the Lord. Now lift up your hands and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you because you first loved us. We know that praise looks comely on you, looks good on you. Praise awaits you in Zion. Because we know that you who hear prayer, all flesh will come to you. We come with our praise. We come with our worship. We come to magnify you. Lord, be the subject and object of all we do and say and think here. At the end of the day, be glorified. Holy Spirit, do your new work. We bind every principality of Memphis right here in Jesus' name. Let your word have free course and make us true believers. For Christ in us is the hope of glory. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall shout, Amen! Put your hands together for Jesus. Give three people a high five. Three people a high five. Tell the person, you look good. Tell the person, I will not accept your high five without a smile.
I will not accept that high five without a smile. All right. God bless you. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Well, I bring you greetings from all our young people. You know, I know that you realize that now they are, and I want to encourage all of you, all our kids who are like, you know, late teens and college, now have their own service, and they are doing powerfully well by the grace of God. Clap for Jesus. I went to visit them, and they had 40 members or so. Yeah. I said, there's a mega church. Yeah, and then preach Sunday morning, preaching one to another. You see, the students, they've gone. Did they come and help us a little bit? I mean, preaching, our children preaching, and people coming to them to seek the face of the Lord. Oh, put your hands together for these young kids. You know, I am tired of hearing amongst many Christians, oh, if my grandmama was here, my grandmama made us pray all the time. My grandmama took us to church all the time. My grandmama did this. My grandmama did that. I know of a certain old man who is in the 50s or so, who, because the parents died, that person's life became something else. Yeah. You know, what I'm trying to say is that how long will we continue to just chaperone and just keep the kids, live Christianity for them, so to speak? You know, there should be such that they should be let loose to be. The time has come for them to be. Your daughter is there. They're doing very well. They were not doing well. Even your daughter. Until we let them loose to do the work. Look at the change that is coming to your lives. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. And I'm not against it. Of course, when they're here, it's exciting. It's full, all kinds of things. It's good. But like I told you last week, this venture looks like it's a funny thing. But very soon, the whole place will be filled with your kind and my kind. Clap for Jesus. And their place will be filled with their kind as well. Yeah, they got their own instruments. They got their own preacher. I mean, the last time we went there, we felt like writing notes. Actually, the message that one of the children preached was what we heard last week. We decided we'll preach it in church too. Yeah. Today, I'm going to preach one of those ones too. Why not? Amen. I think it's a very wonderful thing. Let's encourage the kids. Now, in line with that, as we've sent the senior children out, what we are trying to do is now the younger ones from the age of 10 to 17, they are going to form a strong team here of Christians. A strong team. We're going to encourage them, give them their own instruments. That place, when we're having our service, you'll see they will have a service. Yeah, in there. What we call the J and the Y church. Is going to be real church. And you see young people at 12 years preaching. Jesus started preaching when he was 12. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says the parents left and found him in the synagogue reasoning with the elders, the rabbis. And the parents said, what are you doing here? He said, no, why are you asking where was I? Why did you search for me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? So 12 is not too early. Yeah. So Jesus said, did you not know? And he was 12. Perhaps he had been announcing it from 10. So that's why we started from 10. Put your hands together again for Jesus. So these days, when you see people and you're evangelizing, even if you are 10, evangelize to them. They know things. Yeah. See, when I look at the young people these days, when I talk to them and some of the young people, at 9 years old, they are into pornography. Even less. You don't know what your children are doing. You are asleep and they are on the internet. And you want to rest. So you've given them your iPad. Only God knows what's. But your children will do well in Jesus' name. You know, so earlier you give them something to fight these evils, the better. The earlier you give them, expose them. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, that train up a child the way he should go, and when he grows up, he shall not depart from it. Yeah. Don't train your children with just social media. Spiritual media. That is church. That is scriptures. That is Bible. Let them grow up. One lady told me when I said, they said, I don't want my child to be a church girl. You should see what a child has become. You should see what that child has become. Yeah. Another lady, the child came to me. Through these encouragements I'm giving to kids, the child came to me and said, I want to be a priest. Yeah. The child came to me, I want to be a pastor. I thought that was the first time he was telling me. No, he's been telling the mother. So one day I was there, I encouraged the guy. One day I was there, the mother brought the child. Please, discourage this guy from becoming it. I said, you came to the wrong place. They said, oh, I don't mean stop it. I said, explain to him that he should concentrate on his books. I said, well, that one is reasonable. We all concentrate on our books. We became what we need to become, and we're still serving God. So I talked to the young child seriously about it. And I said, but you must become the priest you want to become. The mother didn't like it. That I combined the two. Look. What that child has become. The child doesn't even want to see the parents. Yeah. The parents have to go and see the child. Say, God forbid for my child. When the child was running towards God, it was God's deliverance, but the parents didn't see it. Let's help these kids to negotiate this difficult time. It's this era is difficult to be a young person. In this era, those times when they lock us in the room, we are alone. But this time they lock you, and the whole worldwide word comes into your room with you. Even you lock your child and you give worldwide web. I'm going to buy things. No, you shouldn't open the door. No problem. But they are there with a lot of people. Worldwide web. So, listen. Bible says the church is a light of the world. It's supposed to shine and take away the darkness. We are the salt of this world to preserve from getting spoiled. Soil is a preservative. Never salt. Salt is a preservative. When there's enough salt marinated into fish, they never get spoiled. Or meat, it doesn't get spoiled. Salted meat never gets spoiled. Yeah. Actually, it gets better with time. So, the Word of God and Christianity is a super preservative. Not for our young people, but it's also for us in Jesus' name. Yeah. And the devil is fighting big time. Fighting little rain. Then he'll fight everybody. Don't be there. Little tiredness. Oh, I went to work. I won't come. Little academic pressure. Oh, I will not be there. Because he knows what he is against. Look at these young people. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I always say, to the glory of God, none of the people that have been here for these years has gone to jail or has gone to steal and has gone to become pregnant out of wedlock. None of them, by the grace of God. And may God forbid against any bad thing in Jesus' name. Whatever it is that, Lord, you're doing, may you continue doing. May we not backslide. May we not buckle under the pressure of parents and their evils. So, ladies and gentlemen, I said this to let you know that when your child wants to serve the Lord, release him, release her, and don't hold anybody back. It will mean a little effort on your side. They're coming for rehearsal. They're coming for. Make that effort. Otherwise, your effort will be too late when you want to make it at that time. Bible says, chastise your child while there is hope. There's the time there will be no hope.
Make the effort. Make the effort. Hallelujah. And don't think it's too much when a church starts teaching your child these things early. Memorizing scriptures. Every week they are memorizing scriptures. They are winning souls. They are reading their Bible. They are praying. I love it. I really do. Yeah. If I had a baby girl, this is the church I would have brought her. Unfortunately, you know a woman, she can't have children, baby girls. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know, some of you can have baby girls. I will refer her to you. You know, people like Rosaya. Oh. Ajua too has girls. It's a powerful thing. You have even four boys. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk about the attitude. The attitude. Someone said the attitude. The attitude. When they say somebody has an attitude, it means the person has a strong presentation where even his posture, his mannerism or her mannerism, you get the message. It's a statement. You got an attitude. You haven't insulted me. Your attitude is insulting. Yeah. You see that? Or do it with an attitude. It means do it with conviction. Now, Christian conviction actually translates in three words. Three words. Three words. Anakazo, biazo, anadea. Amen. Anakazo, biazo, anadea. Anakazo, biazo, anadea. Now, everybody that is here, believe me, your Christianity will face challenges. And if you've not learned to do the Christianity, operate with attitude, it will not work. It will not survive in this current earthly pressures. Look, the devil is active and strongly so. Yeah. So, I want to give you three strategies by which you can prevail against the worldly odds against our Christian lives. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Hold fast to eternal life, whereunto thou also art called. Fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you have been called, and you have professed. It's a good profession before many witnesses. The day you got born again, angels rejoiced. Heaven praised. There was a lot of excitement. Don't let go of your Christianity. Hold on strong to eternal life. Don't backslide. Don't fall back. Don't give in. Don't give up. It's a fight. It's a fight. You must win. It's a fight. Fight. It's a good fight. It's not every fight that you should fight. Legal battles and I don't have the energy for, but there are certain fights I can fight and I like to fight them. Fight a good fight of faith. It's called the fight of faith. Not the fight of words. Where you want to know who can throw out the most number of four-letter words in a minute. That's not a good fight. All right. Now, so these three, there are three potent weapons. Number one is anakazo. Number two is biazo. Number three is anadea. A good fight. Anakazo comes from the book, the Bible, Luke chapter 14, verse 23. When Bible says, you know, when you read from verse 13, actually verse 15 down, it talks about the fact that it talks about, you know, let's read, huh? And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom of God. Now look at this. You know, Christians, the bread, Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Do you know that Your daily bread includes and essentially should include the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And Bible says those who eat bread in the kingdom, who eat the word of God, they are blessed. One of the reasons why Christians don't walk in their blessing is they don't walk in the word of God. They don't walk in the commandments of God. So they don't walk in the instructions of God, in the invitations of God, in the direction of God, instructions of God. So many times God tries very hard to let you understand that what he has is better than what is in the world. So in this regard, he prepared a feast and invited many that come and eat my bread. He prepared. The feast is the church. You've eaten in the word. Come and taste of my bread. And many made excuses. Last week you heard that. Some said, I've married a wife. It's because of my job. These are the three reasons. The first one said, I bought land. Property, money, business. I have to go see it. The other one said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I need to go and try them out. Have me excuse. I have my job, my status, my land. You know who I am? I don't have clothes. I don't, all kinds of excuses. And then the other ones, I married a wife. You know, my child is sick. My family. Sunday is me time, family time. My children don't get this, all those excuses come. And then the Lord says, go and compel them. Verse 23. He said that, and the Lord said unto them, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Clap for the Lord Jesus. There should be no preaching that should be wasted. There should be no church that there's good preaching like we're having that the church should not be full. It's a waste of food. How is it that when your children waste food, you are all angry and irate? But when the food of the Lord is wasted, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you. Tell somebody, it must bother you that the church is not full. It must bother you that the food is being wasted. Yeah. It says, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom. Tell somebody, you are very blessed to be eating bread here. You are very blessed to be eating bread here. That's why we've sent the young people to University of Memphis, CBU. Now, you used to have 6, 7, today they're 40, 50. It's working by the grace of God. Yeah. Your church shall be part of it in Jesus' name. So now those teenagers are going to start here. You see the place will be full. You see it in Jesus' name. I prophesy that they will be large. So, God says that it takes an akazo. It takes compelling power. Now, for your Christianity to go well, you need to know that there must be a compulsion to do things, spiritual things. You should compel others. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. You know, some places you go to church and they're so soft about it. Oh, could you do this? No. The word the Lord used is compel them. Tell somebody, compel them. Make a compelling argument why they need to be in church, why they need to be in the ministry, why they need to be singing, why they need to sing in the choir, why they need to be in the children's church, why they need to be join the cleaners. Let there be a compelling argument. Listen, Christians don't naturally do spiritual things. I'm telling you, every real Christian that has amounted to something, somebody took pains to compel them, give them compelling arguments, persuasions, force them, enable them, convince them. You don't just sit down and just say it's going to be okay. Go and ask Esau. Thing for you never lost. If you are a Christian, you are a Christian. He lost his birthright, eh? And his blessing, eh? And he cried with many tears. Even for a little extra, he didn't get it. Ladies and gentlemen, our children who do not become Christians properly is because we don't. Your children must be compelled that prayer is good, that church is good, that quiet time is good. Your spouse must understand that we must have devotion and that there is, it's not an option. Oh, why should they force? Let me tell you, you're gentle, you don't need to say anything. Jesus Christ is angry. Bible says when they just did it, oh, let them come. Jesus got angry in this. He was angry with that attitude. The attitude of softness was annoying to Jesus Christ. Bible says he got angry. He became angry. Then why are you just making a suggestion out of it? Anakazo is important. Listen, if sometimes you do not, don't sit down and say, somebody will just, Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ, then was silly for God. That's what we're saying. For God to send Jesus Christ, that is a very powerful thing. To come and die, that's a very serious thing to do. It takes a lot of effort. To send people that even knew they would die. And Anakazo is an important thing for us to be successful in our Christian walk. To affect others for Christ. We need to have the spirit of Anakazo or compelling power. Tell somebody compelling power is what you need. Make the necessary argument. Go and pick up the person. Talk to the person over and over. Send text. Keep pushing. Let me tell you, if you think compelling power is not important in spiritual things, watch the devil at work. The devil never uses suggestions. Never. He knows what it takes to get somebody to his side. He used compelling power called addictions. Not just suggestions. Have you seen an alcoholic? He wants to stop, he can't stop. Have you seen a pornographer? He wants to stop pornography, he can't. It's called compelling power has been unleashed on him. If you see somebody on drugs, they are not bad people. They want to stop. Look, some of the people, have you seen somebody with sex addictions? One person came to our pastor and said, Pastor, please, do you know any doctor that takes away testicles? Not spectacles, testicles. I said, why? We said, why? I said, because everything, my Christian life is not because of this thing. When young girls are my weakness. He will compel you. Ladies and gentlemen, that attitude is important. You, if you want a job, you just write and sit down. You have to follow up. Compelling, give them compelling. Resume is a form of compelling power. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only way we will win souls. Many of you sitting here, if you remember the compelling power that has been unleashed in your direction for you to even stay in the church and to flow and to read the Bible, you didn't used to want to do it. Prayer is a compelling power. You pray about that person. You pray about that follow-up. You visit. You call. You spend money. It is power. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Without that, you will never be fruitful in Christian life. Without compelling power, you will never do anything for Christ. Yeah. Number two, biazo. 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 Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. Bible says, and from the days of John the Baptist, Patricia, that was fast and good. Keep it up. All the negatives are being turned into positives. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take the kingdom by force. That word force is the word biazo in Greek. Biazo, B-I-Z-O. B-I-A-Z-O, sorry. B-I-A-Z-O. Let me tell you something. Bible says nothing has changed. When is the king? From the days of John the Baptist, ever since Christ was announced that the Messiah is coming, the kingdom entered into a fight. And it's a violent fight. The Bible says those that win the battle, they don't win it by softness. They don't win it by soft. They win it by force. And you have to be violent about your Christianity. Let me tell you, this gentility type of softness, softy Christianity never made anybody spiritual. You have to take it by force. Biazo. It's not me, Jesus saying it. From the days of John the Baptist, from the days when, that was when Christ's forerunner was shown forth. That was when Christ was announced. Up till now, it hasn't changed. The formula hasn't changed. The tool to deal with kingdom things has not changed. You need force. And you must be violent about your Christian life. When I say, what do you mean? You know, Christian must. I'm not talking violence as in go and beat somebody. That's domestic violence. Domestic violence is not allowed. Spiritual violence is allowed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Bash at the devil. Let me tell you, if you don't force, you will never pray. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you had not forced this morning, the rain would have kept you out. If you don't force in your Christian life, you will never get out of bed to pray. You will. Bed is sweeter than church, isn't it? Sleeping is sweeter. If you don't force, you will never fast. Never. 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 Look at the soft Christians. They never fast. They never pray. They never read the Bible. They never memorize scriptures. They are always late for church. They never do any. They never join a ministry. They will never go for outreach. They will never go for prayer. They will, because it needs force. Force. You need to force yourself into it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's the only way that you will attain the things of the kingdom. It requires force. Listen, even you are in church, you want to worship, you need to force yourself. Come on, kneel down. Kneel down. This is when I had to tell myself, kneel down. Flesh, bow. Flesh, wake up. It's time to pray. Sometimes you force by getting up and washing your face with cold water. Get under the shower at a time you don't want to get under the shower. Walk around. Sometimes you have to pray in wet clothes. Wet clothes. So that you stay awake. You play your music loud so that you don't sleep. Christianity, from the days of John the Baptist, everything you're going to do about your Christian life will face opposition. I'm telling you, if you don't know that, then you are not a Christian. If it's always easy for you, you haven't started. Bible says from that day, the kingdom of God itself suffered violence. The devil is coming with strength and violence spiritually, and you just want to soft it. It's all right. For you, many of us who cannot pray more than 5 minutes is because you haven't applied this. Yeah. Until you force yourself into a habit, the habit will never develop. Let me tell you something.
Even you going to work, is it not difficult? But you are willing to force yourself at 7 a.m. when the sleep has become sweetest because you watch a movie till 3 a.m. And you force yourself to get up to go to work. You don't even like the boss. But you force yourself to go. I'm explaining to you why your Christianity, if it's not working, why it's not working. The day you apply this tool, you will benefit, you will appropriate kingdom benefits. You become that spiritual person. You see, somebody has visions and dreams. It's not for a special type of Christian. It's for the described Christian who takes it by force. You see, somebody is able to pray. Somebody is able to preach. It has taken biazo. You see, somebody has joined the choir. It's not easy. You have to force yourself to come for rehearsals. You have to force. There is great effort in Christianity. Let me tell you, by the grace, you are joking. You're joking. Grace comes with force. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Bible says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you end there, you miss the scripture. And many Christians, they do that and laziness sets in and they don't become anything spiritually. And they go to hell. Right in the church, they go to hell. Go to hell in church because you didn't apply any of these. Because by the grace of God, it's grace. If it says, it is. If it will, it will. You're joking. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And it explains what that means. Colon. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Do you know the next time you say by the grace of God, do you know what it implies? Let me explain. This is what it implies. Real grace implies when the grace of God is in vain, nothing happens. When it is not in vain, they explain, semicolon. But I labored, I forced more abundantly. A lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot. Grace is a lot of work. I labored. I forced. I worked at it. I pushed it through. Anybody who does not work, your grace is in vain. Grace makes you work. You have the grace to work. I'm telling you. Paul is what he is. He just said, don't joke. You want to be like Paul? You want to be a true Christian? You want to see the words that I wrote come to pass in your life? Let me explain what made me what I am. The grace was bestowed upon me, but it was never in vain. Never in vain, because I labored more abundantly than they all. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And when you force and things work, then you add, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I can preach and I'm forcing to preach, but I don't claim it that it's me. Yet it's not me. It's the grace of God that makes it possible for me to do it the way I'm doing it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Anytime you sit back as a softie, tell yourself the grace, you are frustrating the grace of God. Tell yourself the grace of God on you is in vain. Christians who say the grace of God for salvation is upon them, that don't work. That grace is vain, is wasted, is useless. It's been set aside, it's null and void. The grace of God, if it's not in vain, you see laboring, force, biazo. Yeah. Many Christians are not at that level. And they don't want you to say it. Most Christians are dying in the church slowly and going to hell in the church.
I'm telling you, they are frustrating the grace and they are setting the grace aside. Oh, by grace are we saved through faith? Nonsense. Vain grace. I'm telling you, real grace will make you work. Real grace will make you labor. Real grace will cause Biazo to operate. Don't tell me because Paul is hardworking, there's no grace. Sometimes grace, anointing, and hard work is confusing. We don't even know which is working. Like when we see our bishop, he's always working. He doesn't sleep. Have you traveled with him before? That man does not sleep. You see, all the churches, all the pastors have been trained, all the buildings, all the works, all the souls, the books that have been written, he could have sat down and said, the grace of God is working. That man labors, eh? You can't keep up with him. He's preaching and you, the one he's preaching to, you are tired and he's still going. It's called the grace. When the grace is heavily upon you, that is what you see. That's what you see. You are not a lazy Christian who sits back and watches as a spectator. Chances are that the grace upon your life is in vain. Those the grace is not in vain, they labor and they labor abundantly. As they are pointing to the grace, they are laboring. They do the labor and then they point, it's not me, it's the grace. And then they are working, it's not me, it's the grace. And yet not I, but the grace. The grace, the grace, the grace. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The grace. When you see an active, forceful Christian, then you can say the grace of God is upon you. When you see somebody who is inactive, passive, no work, see, that person is frustrating the grace. Set aside the grace. The grace is not upon that person. I'm telling you. And if this one is going to make you angry not to be here, then your case is even worse. Yeah. If this that is supposed to make you appropriate the grace is actually pushing you further, then the devil has your case fully. I can see the grace. I can see the grace on church members when I see it. I can see. Yeah. That is the reason why when people are falling off and backsliding, often it is the passive ones because they frustrate the grace. Often it is the people that do nothing, that do not labor. They make no effort. Those are the people that backslide most quickly because the grace was not there. It was in vain. They frustrate the grace. Biazo. Next time you realize you are struggling too much to pray and you are still pressing on, lift your hand and say, thank you. The grace of God is working on my life. Don't give up and say, man, it's too much. Forget it. Next time you realize how much you have to struggle to come to church, begin to thank God and say, the grace is work. I'm going to labor it through. It's raining, but I'm going to make it. The next time you find yourself struggling to come for a prayer meeting, realize that the violent is taking it by force. Yes. It's at work. Yes. The next time you come to church and you don't feel like worship, you don't feel like praying, and it's a struggle, tell yourself that's normal. I will press through. Biazo, Biazo, I'm going to change my attitude and apply Biazo. The next time that you see a Christian and you don't feel like witnessing, or you see a guy, an unbeliever, you don't feel like witnessing, then you turn the gears. You say, I need to use anakazo. Attitude must change. Attitude must change. You press to anakazo gear. There are three gears to Christianity. Anakazo, biazo, anadea. Or the fourth gear is frustrating of grace. Mercy. You will never have that gear in Jesus' name. When you see that, the Christianity is either packed or it's reversed. That's reverse. You reverse. You go back. That's where backsliding is. If you are not applying these three gears in your Christian life, chances are that the grace of God that was put on your life, you are frustrating it. You set it aside and it's vain. Real Christians with the grace, they force, they labor, they work. They apply effort. Christianity requires effort. If it didn't require effort, God would just have spoken in the air and all would be saved. Jesus had to apply effort even to the point of death on the cross. And Paul was even more effortful. Why are you being effortless? Yeah. Clap for the Lord Jesus. No, number one. Number one is anakazo, compelling power. Number two is biazo, forcing our way into it. Silently, effort, labor, work it. Work it. Do you know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13? Philippians chapter 2, verse, in fact, go to verse 12 first. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Most people in church, they look like obedient Christians. But let me tell you the truth. But now, much more in my absence, when you are out of church, work. Tell somebody, work out. Work it out. Work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But is it not God who said in Ephesians 2:8 that by grace are you saved? But I say, work out your own salvation. That grace has with it work. I'm not talking works of the flesh, but grace will make you work. One of the commonest manifestations of grace is it makes you work. It makes you active. Because grace is also the anointing, it's also a grace. Listen, Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And listen, verse 13, God explains why. Sometimes you don't understand. He said, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is, if God is in you, one of the manifestations is work. It is God who will grant you, who is at work. You think a Christian who is not working, God is not in him. Because he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're afraid, you're trembling. I have to worship, I have to pray, I have to fear and trembling. But you think it's your own effort. It is still, just like Paul said, I labor more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace. Now, he's saying here that, for you work out your own salvation with fear, working and trembling. But as you're doing, don't, the trick is this. It is God, always inside of it, it is God at work. It is God who is working in you, both the desire and the motivation to do it is from God. Who is at work in you, both to will, even the desire to do it is from God, and to do, both to will and to do. Yeah, to will and to do. The desire and the execution is both from God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I traveled. I am jet lagged, but I want to preach. It's from God. It's a grace. Oh, I was prepared. As I was coming, I was feeling sleepy and I was still preparing to preach. I have the desire to will and to do. If you don't feel like it, be worried. If you don't feel like serving God, be worried. To will and to do is from God. To will and to do is from God. You see somebody, why you're forcing too much? It's from God. It looks like he's working out his own salvation, but it's from God. It's God who is at work in him to do will and to do. Look at New King James and look at New Living. He said, always at work. Give me a different version. You'll be surprised. You'll love it. For God is working in you. Then the next version, New Living. New Living Amplified or Message. Beautiful. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Next one. Wow. Wow. not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing you and creating in you power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Wow, clap for the Lord Jesus. Biazo is from God. All the while, when you see somebody you call a fanatic, zealot or whatever they call it, you do too much, it's God. It's God. You should be praying to be like that person. Not sitting down with your hot bottom flask. I'm serious. You'll find out in heaven that all the while it was God trying to work. When the pastor was speaking, it was God trying to put in you desire and ability. Desire and power. Desire and ability. I will, even if you run me out of this church, I will find the next church. And when I get there, I will not sit down. I will work. I hope you don't run me out of this church, though. You can't, by the grace of God. Say, God forbid. Tell somebody, forcing is from God. Laboring is from God. Grace is from God. Makes you labor. Makes you force. Spencer, say it. Amen. So, when I see Christians that are frustrating the grace of God, I see. When I see Christians that the grace of God is put to, is vain, I see it. When I see Christians who the grace that was bestowed was not in vain to, I see it. For you, you will be the one who never frustrates the grace in Jesus' name. Look, I'm not talking just about working for the Lord. Just living for Christ. You force, I mean, that you really want to sleep with this guy who is not your husband. The desire is there, but you force and say, no, not again. Zip up and get out. And you throw the guy's key into the sea. It is God at work in you. It's God at work in you. It takes effort. That thing is God. That thing is God. It's God. It's God. It takes effort to stop pornography. It's God. There's grace for it. But you must labor with the grace. It takes God to stop lying and stealing. Yeah. Biazo, force. Force. The grace will make you force. I know it's difficult, but I will. Stealing the tithe. I feel like this man too, eating the 10%. Force. The grace of God has begun to work. When now you desire and you are willing to now walk in obedience. It's grace. Yeah, when I saw that beauty, black beauty in my bed, stark naked. And I said, I can't do this. And my central region was boiling. Boiling with energy. Youthful, my mid-south was boiling with energy. It was God at work. Grace. But it manifested and I had to force to walk away from fornication, force to walk away from disobedience, force. Look, when you do it 1, 2, 3 times, you realize, it was grace. I actually have the ability. The grace all along, it was grace, but you were frustrating the grace. Yeah. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Some of you need to rise up early. And decide, I'm going to, from now, I sleep till 7. From now, I wake up at 5. I will sit down for 1 hour reading the Bible and praying. I'll give myself 1 hour. You may fall asleep after 20 minutes. Don't worry. The next time, it will be 25. Next time, it will be 37. Little by little, the grace will grow. It is God at work. When you make the effort, He, Bible says, draw near unto God, and He will draw near. For every step you make, He comes even closer by 10 more steps. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The attitude of Biazo works. And finally, the attitude called anadeia, shamelessness. And John is so much, you've forgotten who you are. Anadeia, shameless. Luke chapter 11. You know, let me tell you, let's read rather from Matthew chapter 20. I haven't seen anything. Don't start me with red. I start with green and go to yellow and go to red. I've not seen that. Matthew chapter 26. John the preaching is forgotten. He should give me timing. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter answering said to him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. I will never deny you. I'll never deny you. Look at Peter. Just like most of us Christians. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Ladies and gentlemen, and it happened from verse 75 down. It happened that Peter, little girl, was coming. Peter said, are you not one of Jesus' disciples? I don't even know him. He denied Jesus. He was ashamed to be associated with Jesus. Listen, three things. Number one, compelling power. Number two, forcing by the grace. Number three is shamelessness or anadeia. Your association with Christ will come under attack. And if you don't have a certain attitude of shamelessness, you will never make it. In this Christian walk, you will never make it. You have to have an attitude of shamelessness. I don't mind, not that I don't mind being associated with Christ. I love being associated with Christ. I'm a Christian and I have no apologies about it. It doesn't matter that they are coming to kill me with Christ. I just came from Greece. I want to stand on Mars Hill. Paul was dealing with intellectuals who were against Christ. He preached in the marketplace. So I stood there and I also preached a message in the wind. And I took a picture. Yeah. Greece, Athens. Ladies and gentlemen, a certain association. Peter seemed to be ashamed of Christ, associating with this disgrace of somebody who is. Those days, when they put you on the cross, it's a curse. He was not willing to associate with the curse. He was not willing to associate. He was offended by his associates to be called a somebody who is one of the disciples. And all of us are blaming Peter was just such a coward. But many of us are denying Christ. Many of us, we are ashamed to be associated with Christ. Can you stand up in a bus and speak Christ, or you'll be ashamed? Can you carry a Bible to your workplace and at break time open it when everybody's eating and you are fasting, open it and read? Or you think they will say you are a fanatic, you are offended. Can you do it? Can you wear a Christian t-shirt that says, for me to live it is Christ, to die is gain? Can you collect your friends into your car, and then when they get in, Christian music was playing and you don't turn it on, but you let it continue? Or a message was preaching, the Bible was being narrated, but when they enter, there are four, and some of them are executives, and you still keep letting it go on. Or you turn it off and turn on some secular music from Beyonce. Just so that you fit in. Listen, if you deny Jesus, many of the denials of Jesus, we don't speak out that I'm not associated with Jesus. But we act it out. One of the ways is some of the parents who say, I will never allow my child to become a preacher.
It's a denial. It's a denial. Sometimes you can't even pray in the open. I like the way the Muslim's attitude is. Unashamed. Airports, wherever. They will carry their mat in the open and they will bow. Allahu Akbar. Christian, even at lunch in a restaurant, your food is there. You can't pray and say, Father, thank you. Close your eyes for just 1 minute and say, Father, thank you. I bless this food. Because you want to fit in with everybody, you look on the food and you say, I prayed in my stomach. I prayed in my head. Since when did prayer become meditation? It's a form of shamefulness. We're denying Christ. If you have that attitude, you're about to actually backslide. When somebody is touching you where it should not be touched and you are married, can you say, I'm a Christian and I don't behave this way? Or just say, stop it. Yeah, you know, I don't like such things. No, you should be open to open Christ up, open air, and say, this is me. This is my Christ. We go hand in hand. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I may be a doctor, but I'm a Christian first. Yeah. And you say boldly, can you do it? The girl, jet black girl who was there lying down, that's what solved the problem. It has come too fast. That's what solved the problem. I said, I'm a Christian. I can't do this. She asked me, if you're a Christian, why in the first place did you allow me to follow you here? I said, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Yeah, it's true. She has a valid question. But I said, I can't continue denying Christ. Now I'm going too far. No. I can't be three times. I've done it when I told you to follow me. I did it when I entered and I told you, now you are naked and going to do it three times. Peter did it three times. I'll do it too. I'll go away. Ladies and gentlemen, shamelessness will make your Christianity tick. And you fight the good fight of faith. You will lay hold on eternal life. Because that's your calling. That's why you're called to. You are called to lay hold on eternal life. Believe it. Lay hold. Take hold of it. Don't be ashamed. You're ashamed of buying Christian books. You're ashamed of speaking in tongues. You don't want people to hear about it. You can't even say to somebody, I'm going for a prayer meeting. You're ashamed to say it. You went on vacation. Where did you go? Oh, we went to Orlando. Oh, you went to Disney World? Yeah, you say yes. You didn't go to Disney World. You went for a Christian camp. Say it. I went for a Christian camp. Can you say it? Can you say it? That I belong to First Love Church, that I belong to Lighthouse, that I belong to QFC, that I'm a Christian. Can you speak about heaven? Can you stand your ground and say, yes, I know there are gays and there are lesbians, but you know, I know that we should not discriminate against. I don't discriminate, but I don't, but biblically it is wrong. Can you take a stand for Christ? Bible says that if you deny me, if you are ashamed of me in this perverse generation, I will also be ashamed of you before my Father. That's what Jesus said. Can you get up boldly and pray when you feel like? When everybody is going naked and wearing a handkerchief for skirt, a blouse for a full dress, will you stand your ground and say, no, I will cover my thighs because I'm a Christian. And you explain, no, I can't dress this way. If this is the way they dress here, I don't want this job. Will you be able to take a stand and say, look, I'm a Christian. I don't work on Sundays because I'm a Christian. Will you be able to take that stand? The Jews, they always take a stand. They will tell you, I'm a Jew. I don't work on Fridays. And you can hire me, but I won't work on Fridays.
And they respect it. That's why they are blessed. That's why they are blessed. That's why they are blessed. If you can take that stand, you will also be blessed. Me too, I don't work on Sundays. I'm a Christian. I'm for Christ. Yes. My children cannot come to this kind of program. We don't read these books because it has demons in it. We take a stand. They are saying, what season? Thanksgiving after that, what? Halloween. My children don't, because we're Christians. Period. I'm a Christian and I don't do such things. Take the stand. My child cannot come to school on this day. If that's everybody must, then I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can you do it? If you don't have this attitude of shamelessness about Christ, about his church, about his word, about worship, about Christian music, about the movies you watch, about the kind of talk. Can you say, I'm a Christian, I don't use these four-letter words, and I don't tolerate it. I don't speak this way. I'm sorry. I can't do this deal with you. Yeah. You are employing me. I should lie for you. I'm sorry. I can't lie for you. I'm a Christian. Can you do it? The attitude will take you to the altitude. Amen. If you can have that aptitude, that brings you the what? This attitude will take you to your highest altitude. If you can have gratitude for Christ's aptitude. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You are just words. This is just word salad. Word salad. Put your hands together, rise to your feet. It's just word salad. Wow. How many can testify that if you can have these three attitudes, you'll be a solid Christian? You will win, not only fight, but you win the good fight of faith. And you will lay hold on eternal life, which you have professed among many witnesses. You've been called to that. Your Christianity will stand. May your Christianity stand. Can you stand and say, when your spouse makes you angry, when your spouse makes you angry, you're about to slap him? Some of the men are foolish, I'm telling you. They deserve slaps. But you tell yourself, for the sake of Christ, I forgive you. Because God says, vengeance is mine. Will you be able to quote scriptures to back your actions? And say, because of Christ, that's why I'm not going to do this. Do you even know the scriptures? Many of us have denied Christ. But if you can have the attitude of compelling power, anakazo, force through biazo, and not be ashamed of Christ through anadea, you'll be a blessed Christian. For the Bible says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Oh, put your hand on your heart and tell the Lord, give me these attitudes. Bless me with these attitudes. Anakazo, Biazo, Anadea. God is elevating somebody here. God is strengthening somebody here. God is telling somebody, take the compelling power out there and bring somebody next week with the compelling power. Anakazo. God is telling somebody, from now, because of the Biazo power, you'll be able to have your quiet time regularly. 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 God is telling somebody, because you are not ashamed of Christ, more angels will be assigned to you because you will not repel them. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.